You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Mark Kay from The Mark Kay Show. You hear me every day from 10 a.m. to noon on News 104.5 WOKV. First of all, thanks for listening to The Mark Kay Show podcast. Second, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Burrish Daily Discussion podcast and Jacksonville's Morning News interviews. And don't forget to head to iTunes and Google Play and leave a review. Thanks for listening.
I've got to get Mark Kay more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark Kay.
Where entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
2 full hours of the Mark Kay Show starts right now.
All right, so Donald Trump wants to go to space.
The Space Force.
We know that, which seems like a great idea. I'm all about the Space Force. But now he wants to go to the moon, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Space Force.
I don't understand the whole thing with the moon. I don't get the. I feel like it's a big rock in space, and it's a big waste of time and money and energy trying to get there. If someone can explain to me the need to go to the moon when there's so many other things happening here on Earth that we need to take care of.
Personally, I think we all know that the government's hiding something on the moon, so I say let's go back and try to find out what it is.
Yeah. I shudder. We were talking about this because the other Josh comes in at 9 o'clock every day. I mean, he's here earlier, but he comes into my studio and goes, all right, here's what's happening. Here's what the open mics are about. Here's what people seem to want to talk about. And we brought up this whole thing with the moon. And I always shudder when the prospect of the moon comes up because I know what's going to happen. There's going to be people that say, we never went to the moon. I'm going to say, well, we haven't been to the moon since 1969 or whatever it is. And then a bunch of people are going to call and say, we didn't even go then. It was all a farce. It was a hoax. There's 92 reasons that prove why we were never on the moon to begin with. But basically, the moon to me obviously seems like it's not that important a thing if we decided after landing there in 1969, which was, gosh, what, 20, what is this, 19, it's like 50 years ago. After more even. No, 50 years ago, exactly. Then it seems to me like if we say, hey, we don't need to go back someplace for 50 years, it's not that important, is it? And also, $1.6 billion is what that's what the president's proposing to start the NASA moon landing. Now, it's going to cost way more than $1.6 billion. The wall, which we still probably need to build, costs way more than $1.6 billion, and that's here on Earth.
All that money to go back to the moon, I think, could be spent otherwise in better places.
Yeah, this guy has the same sentiment we were just talking about.
I love President Trump, truly I do, but I need to ask this question. Why do we need to go to the moon? I mean, just to say we did it, because we haven't done it in a while, that's a little unnecessary expense, just in my opinion. I say build the wall first.
Yeah. NASA will ask Congress for an extra $1.6 billion to begin preparations to land the first woman on the moon by 2024. Oh, now I see what they want to do. They want to, they're trying to send their women away. Oh, now I get it. Now I get it. Some NASA technology expert is like, and I'm annoyed at his wife, and he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a rocket. I'm going to ship you to the moon. And now all of a sudden it's a thing. But $21 billion is what the space agency is looking for ahead of the announcement. They are proposing to return to the moon by 2024. Donald Trump says, under my administration, we are restoring NASA to greatness, and we are going back to the moon, then Mars. Which I don't know if there. I don't know if that's like that. That's not the. It is the moon before Mars. I guess it depends on where it is in the rotation. Because if you're going to go to the moon and then Mars, I feel like they're in two different directions. But again, what the hell do I know? I'm updating my budget to include an additional $1.6 billion so that we can return to space in a big way. Now we basically killed the space program for two reasons. Number one, the space shuttles were bad. They were great in 1981. When they first came out, but much like your first car, eventually, you know, you want Bluetooth, you want power steering, you want air conditioning, you want, you know, what is it, four-wheel drive, you want the comforts of the new, you want the newest thing. And we just weren't building them. We had the same old space shuttles, and we just kept sending them up over and over and over again. And for whatever reason, we never decided, hey, you know what, there should be a new model. You know, there's a new model every single year. Every single car company manages to come out with a new model of automobile. And there, I mean, there's tons of pickup trucks and SUVs and, you know, and electric cars. There's so many new vehicles every single year. And the space shuttle was 20, 30 years old. They hadn't upgraded it ever, really. So they canned it. They pulled the plug on the program. It was dangerous. They were blowing up on reentry. People's lives were at risk. And we just couldn't hack it. That was the first reason. The second reason is, and I firmly believe this to be true, that there's no reason to go to the moon. That there's no reason to go to the moon, especially when it's so expensive. I mean, think about all the money that NASA is going to spend trying to send a woman to the moon. And at what end? Like, what is the purpose of that? I always like to start backwards. What's the purpose of going back to the moon with a woman or a man or a dog or a monkey or anything? What is on the moon that we need that is going to justify the expense? When, as people said, we have a crisis on the border, which needs billions of dollars to maintain. We have, you know, people would say educational crises. People would say we have healthcare crises. You know, we have infrastructure problems. We're in a trade war with China now. So there's a lot of things going on here that are going to require our time and attention and our money and technological advances. I still would like us to produce and refine more oil. I believe that that's a major concern. I don't think that we're energy independent, and I don't think that we will be unless we start dedicating millions and millions of dollars to it every single year that we can then recoup in money that we don't have to ship overseas, that will stay right here in the United States of America. So when it comes to the moon, I know a lot of people get really excited about it. They're like, yes, we need to get back there. We need to colonize the moon. We need to be first. Do we? Why do we need to sit on a big rock in the middle of space? We're on Earth. Is Earth trumps the moon? Earth, let's take over the Earth, or at least maintain our dominance on the Earth. Let's go into the oceans. You know, let's make sure that we are exploring all that this country has to offer. And then maybe if we need to, I'm all about space. Don't get me wrong. Space Force, 100%. Because there's stuff up there that we need to protect. We have assets in space that we need to protect. We need to make sure if somebody else goes up into space, that there's somebody else to make sure they're not doing anything naughty. I'm all about the Space Force. That is 100% something that this country needs. That is 100% on the right track. That is something that we need to protect. But do we need to colonize the moon? Do we need to go there and just start picking up rocks and bringing them back? Do we need to spend billions of dollars experimenting? What is going to be the benefit to the country in the long run? It's not like back in the '60s and the '70s when we were trying to beat the Russians. It's not like we're trying to bankrupt them. You know, it's not like the Cold War where Reagan built so many nuclear weapons that Gorbachev spent his country into oblivion. He tried to keep up, he couldn't do it. He borrowed so much they defaulted and the whole country collapsed. That was one of the big purposes. Are we trying to bankrupt the Chinese? Is that what we're trying to do? Is this one of the methods that we're using to pull back the tariffs in the trade war with China? Is this again how we're trying to, are we back at a war with Russia? Are we trying to assert our dominance? I don't think the American government's up to the task either. Sure, if he wants to outsource it, if he wants to hand it off to Jeff Bezos, who seems to be building everything else in the world, or Virgin Atlantic guy, what's his name, Richard Branson, or the guy from Tesla who builds all the space rocket X's, Elon Musk, right? That guy can build a rocket. Give that guy some money. I guarantee he'll get to the moon faster than anyone in the federal government. 855-765-1045. Why on earth do we want to go back to the moon? Obviously, it wasn't that interesting the first time. 855-765-1045. We got a ton of open mics on this. We got some of your phone calls, too. This is the Mark Kaye Show. Quick break. We'll be right back on News 104.5 WOKV. This is is the Mark Kay Show. My name is Mark Kay. Thanks so much for joining me today, folks. 855-765-1045. Donald Trump is not just planning a space force, but now planning on taking men back to the moon by 2024, pledging money, billions of dollars, as part of that initiative. I'm not a big fan of the moon, I'm going to be honest with you. I like the Space Force idea. I don't like the moon idea. And I think the money definitely could be spent elsewhere. But look, a lot of people are really excited about it.
I bet Bill Clinton would support it if Hillary was the first flight.
I bet he would. I bet you're 100% right about that.
They're hiding common sense on the moon.
Oh, maybe that's where maybe they need to go find it.
Hey, President Trump, forget the moon. Let's go to Mars. Mars can be a stepping stone to outer space.
I mean, Mars is, I think that's not even a stepping stone, but I mean, you have to look, we're in outer space. We go to outer space all the time. We have a guy living in the space station right now. We've got all these shuttle launches going up. We've got all these rockets that they're building. To me, first of all, the capitalist thing to do would be to let all of the private industries build the better, cheaper rocket, let competition dictate the marketplace. And much like the car companies and the plane companies and things like that, let them figure out the best way. Let them spend their money. Let the consumers pay for the first tickets and invest in the rockets, get up to snuff. And then once we have consumer space travel, you know, take it to the next step, take it to the moon, take it to Mars, that kind of thing. But spending all of these tax dollars just to send somebody to the moon to what? To take some more pictures? I don't get it. 855-765-1045. Jerry from Jacksonville. How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing great.
Great. What's up, man? What'd you want to say?
Well, I've got your answer. First of all, if you want to be competitive, but it's too expensive to come out of Earth to get to space, we've got to have some place we can build things a lot cheaper. The government routinely helps with R&D because it's not profitable to do the first steps on the thing. We need to get to the moon to be able to build the vehicles to go to Mars and further. If Columbus's sponsors had listened to the people in Spain saying, no, we got people to take care of here, we would help England and stop from being a Nazi.
See, here's my whole point. Jerry can't even get a decent cell phone signal from downtown Jacksonville to the south side, but we expect ourselves to go to the moon. That's 855-765-1045. And I don't buy the Columbus argument either. I don't buy the whole we've been to the moon. It's not like we said, hey, let's not go to the moon. Kennedy said, we're going to put a man on the moon. And we did. And then we landed on the moon. We took some pictures. We picked up some rocks. We planted a flag. We came home and we decided that's a waste. When Columbus came to the United States, or wherever he happened to land, the Caribbean, wherever he was, you know, the West Indies, when Columbus landed there, he found stuff of value. He found people, and he found spices, and he found gold, and he found a civilization. I'm all about that. If you want to build some ships and circle around the earth and just make sure that we have every single solitary, you know, an inch of it scoped out. If you want to dive into the ocean and see if there's some resources down there, some more oil, some more fuel, some dead whale flesh that we can utilize. If we want to build fusion reactors, I'm all for exploring here on Earth. If you want to go to Mars, I say let's do that instead of going to the moon. Let's concentrate on Mars because Mars is at least another planet. And if you're looking at something to colonize, or if you're looking at something that's, I don't know, a way to advance, the United States economically. I mean, to me, that seems like the more industrious use of our time. Dan from Palm Coast. How are you, Dan?
How are you, Mark? Chef Dan from Palm Coast. And I have to say something.
Yeah.
Don't we own the moon?
Do we own the moon?
We landed on it. We were the Columbus of discovering the moon and landing on it. That's a United States possession.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess we could argue that. Other people would probably look, here's the thing. Unless you can defend it, you don't own it. All right. If somebody lands on the moon and claims it for themselves, we can't declare that as being inadequate. We can't defend that. What is it they always say? If you have a perimeter and you can't defend it, then you don't have a perimeter. It's not yours. That's why your home is yours, because you lock the doors, you have a key, you have a security system, you got some 12 gauges inside. That's your home. Nobody else can, you've got a deed to it. Nobody else can come in and say, hey, this is my house now. Well, except sometimes the government. Hey, Dan and Yuli, how are you, Lee?
I'm fine today. You're missing a big point. If they want to send a woman, well, we need to have a place where Hillary can become president. Okay, so we put, you know, the Clinton Foundation's going to fund it all.
Well, they have enough money.
Yes, so Hillary can be the first woman on the moon, and her presidency cannot be stolen from her.
You know what? I hadn't even thought. Hillary, I'd like to make you president of the moon. You're free? Well, as a matter of fact, she is. Hey, Trevor from Crescent City. How are you, Trevor?
Hey, listen to your show all the time. It's great.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, we need to go to the moon for one thing. It's a stepping stone to go to Mars. There's a lot of rich minerals and stuff there that we can use as fuels. A lot of rich oxygen has been dusting off onto the moon for centuries.
I mean, I feel, do we know that for a fact? We only went the one time.
Yeah, the government's got samples that they brought back, and also China's there growing stuff.
Yeah.
We need a presence there, also a military, strategic kind of vantage point. We need a presence there so, like, countries like Russia and China don't go there.
Oh, so then we're going to have, like, moon wars. I say build a space force. I say build the ships, you know, with the lasers on it so that if somebody else goes to colonize the moon, we can just, you know, we can just come on in and, you know, it's like Millennium Falcon them. 855-765-1045. We got to get a quick break. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls. Why do we need to go to the moon? The Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
I've got to get Mark Kay more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark Kay.
Where entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
This is the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
The moon is the high ground. Look at the art of the war. You got to get the high ground. If we can get to the moon and have control of, say, a military outpost on the moon, then we literally have the high ground over the Earth, over any launches, any military, anything.
So Sun Tzu is telling us to go to the moon. That's what that guy's take is.
Build the wall. Elon Musk will be there in less time and for less money.
See, that's what I'm screaming. I believe that we have enough people right now trying to get to the moon, trying to get to space, trying to figure out the capitalist consumer value of space travel that we don't need to be wasting our time and money with it. We can just outsource it to them. And I don't think NASA needs all this. And I don't think the moon, a lot of people say it's the high ground. I get all that, but I mean, again, the money could be spent somewhere else.
Spending money on going to the moon? What a waste of money. We should be spending it on the government's research into why people no longer use typewriters and why hamsters can't fly. Like real stuff.
Optimus Prime and Autobots are on the moon.
See, we already know what's on the moon.
China just landed a vessel on the dark side of the moon, something that has intelligence gathering and military repercussions. If we do not advance our agenda with the moon, we are literally ceding the highest ground to China, and we will be at a military disadvantage at some point in the future.
Eric from Edgewater, thanks so much for calling the Mark Kay Show. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, great day today. A lot of them callers are absolutely right. China already threw down the gauntlet, and if we let them have the moon, I mean, the moon is uninterceptable. The nuclear triad is vulnerable. This would be, it'd take them 6 days to shoot it down. It's recallable, and if anybody thinks China went to the moon for research and rocks, I got a bridge to sell them.
So what are we going to do? We're going to go to the moon, and then what? Are we going to knock out whatever China has there? Are we going to...
No. It's just it's an uninterceptable, our nuclear triad would now become a quorum, and Russia's not going to get there. Russia don't have the money.
No, yeah.
The caller's right. China's there. China landed on the dark side of the moon. We don't know what's there. You can't see it.
All right.
But we have to do this. We have no choice.
We have no choice but to go to the dark side of the moon. And figure out what China dropped there. I mean, all right. I mean, I'm still not convinced. Jerry from Ocala, how are you?
I'm calling back. I was in Jacksonville. I'm traveling. That's why you lost me.
Oh.
The problem is, the gravity well is too expensive to do all these things. You can't go to Mars. You can't protect your security force. You've got to be on the moon because that's the cheapest place to do all those other things. Protect yourself from the next asteroid that might blow the Earth up. You've got to be there to be have the cheap advantage so that you can compete. That's you have to have that before you can do the Mars and you can do the space thing. That's the importance of it.
Is the is there a threat of asteroids? Are we going to be is Armageddon coming true? Are we going to have an asteroid hit the Earth? And if so, is there anything is being on the moon going to stop that?
Not this year. Not 10 years from now. Not 100 years from now. You've all seen the movies.
Yeah.
So it's certainly a possibility. And it could be 10 years from now. We don't know. More likely that that would happen faster than some of the other threats we're worried about. But the bottom line is we need to have the cheap lifting ability to go to Mars, to maintain the space force, to be close to our satellites, to replace them working quickly and cheaply. That's why we got to go to the moon. It's the money. And all these other things are different kinds of things that will benefit from having that cheap base.
All right. So the moon is the base so that we can take over space. It's like we've got the space force and the moon is the space force. Mike and Palak, how are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, good. Mike, what do you want to say, sir?
Well, I think it's a novel ideal that the president has that I think everyone's missing the picture.
Sure. What is it?
The president has been a developer. He has built so many different projects at the same time, and he's done so many things with the banks. What he's truly doing is just taking the money that he says he's going to use to go to the moon with, and when it comes time, he'll divert it back over to finish the wall.
Interesting point. It's an investment in the future. I know that it's probably going to happen. I know eventually people are going to say we need to be on the moon and we need the colonization. And anytime you have another country go there, China landing on the dark side of the moon, for example, is a big issue. I feel like we're not really focused, though. I feel like what happened was we had NASA going strong. We had the space shuttles. We were building stuff. We were taking satellites into orbit for, the telecom companies and for military purposes. And then all of a sudden we dropped that. We said, look, these things are old. We're not going to refurbish them. We're not going to make new ones. We're just going to cut it out. And we stopped the space program altogether. Then we started to develop Mars. We started sending rovers to Mars and they went there and they landed and they started sending us pictures. We got all excited about Mars, but then the battery died or some monster ate it or we're not really sure what happened, but we lost touch. In the meantime, we want to send all these probes here and there. And I feel like it's only now that the Chinese have dropped some kind of exploratory device or some kind of probe on the dark side of the moon that we are now all caught up in revamping our moon travel. I think if you have a space force, then you all automatically protect the moon, don't you? I mean, I feel like that kind of, I don't know. Again, this is not my area of expertise is battling in space. I did watch a lot of Star Wars movies when I was growing up, and since I've grown up. But again, it's not something that, there's people I'm sure that have brighter minds. Look, the Chinese are, if they're attacking us with tariffs and they're attacking us on the moon, then they definitely should be considered the biggest threat. And anything going on in Russia is secondary when it comes to China. And if you think about it, look, if they're setting up exploratory positions on the moon, if they're going for that high ground, if they're sending their military to the moon, and then if they continue to attack us economically, I mean, you've got now a war on two fronts, not just one. It's not just a trade war, but there seems to be something going on the moon that the president of the United States knows about. And he's now investing in NASA and he's investing in a space force so that he can knock out this threat. Well, maybe it's time to figure out how we knock China down as a superpower. Maybe we figure out, hey, what worked in the past? Maybe we need a lot of spending. Maybe we do cut off trade. Maybe we suck up the burdens of no Chinese imports, of buying untariffed products from other countries. Maybe we help build up other countries in Asia and in Africa and in South America, places where you can find cheaper labor and have goods and services created at a discount so we can continue to enjoy low prices and we don't have to rely on one massive trading partner. It's the same thing going on in Saudi Arabia. That's why we want energy independence. That's why we want fuel independence, because we don't want to be reliant on Saudi Arabia or Iran or any of these other countries that you sit around and you watch try to blow each other up and destroy Israel and send terrorists, you know, into our country, just waiting with the sleeper cells to attack when they feel that it's necessary. Maybe that's the problem. You know, maybe we have to become fully independent, American independence, more so than what we have. I think that's the first step. And I think the first step, as we all say, is the border. So when it comes to the space race or when it comes to landing on the moon, sure, let's get there eventually. But first, let's build the wall, because I feel like the bigger threat is still from Mexico, from Iran, from the terrorist countries that are pouring over the border every single day. I feel like the economic threat and the health threat with the drugs and the opioids and the meth and the amphetamines and everything else that's coming in from Mexico and the crime, I feel like that is still our number one goal. And again, if we can't protect our country here on Earth, how the heck are we going to protect it from space? 855-765-1045. Quick break. More on all this coming up. It's the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV. This is the Mark Kay Show. My name is Mark Kay. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We're having a blast. 855-765-1045. Because Donald Trump, well, we all know about Space Force.
Space Force.
That's the thing. But now we're sending people back to the moon. Specifically a woman, apparently. That's going to be the thing, is that we're going to send a woman to the moon by 2024.
Ralph Cramden spent most of the late 1950s trying to send his wife to the moon. Never happened.
Yeah, and a lot of people are wondering, why does Donald Trump now want to go back to the moon? Does it have something to do with China landing on the dark side of the moon? Does it have something to do with the economy? Is he just trying to make his mark?
Can you imagine looking up at the moon and seeing a big T on the moon?
Hey, look, if you're going to send somebody to the moon, you might as well put your name on it. That's what he said to that's what he said at Mount Vernon. You know, George Washington should put his name on it so people would remember him.
President Trump is trolling Neil Armstrong and NASA. He knows as well as we all do, we never went to the moon.
There it is. That's it. I'm surprised it took 52 minutes of show to get the first moon landing denier on the air. 855-765-1045. This is Dan in Orange Park. Hi, Dan. How are you? Thanks for calling the Mark Kay Show.
Thank you. I've been listening this morning for a length of time here, and everything that was said is very interesting and informative as far as, I think, leading to an extinction event that the governments of the world are finally figuring out that they may not be around here, because they found out that there's been civilizations here 10,000 years ago in Turkey, and they don't know why they left. If it was an extinction event, you've heard about these unusual rocks that come from behind the sun, and they come in like straight bullets. They don't circle in any orbit where you can interact with them. And if we ever got hit, that's the end of civilization. Then the other thing is, the moon has water, and water is H2O, and hydrogen is a very important factor.
Yeah, we have a lot of water here on Earth, though.
But it's very costly to try to elevate it to a point where you can use it for a longer visit.
So you think it's cheaper to go to the moon for water? I feel like desalinating the water that we have here, or reconstituting it as drinking water.
Making rocket fuels for some type of propulsion system that'll enable you to, you don't need the lift off
right
energy that you do on Earth.
No, these are all great points, Dan. It's curious how you say that you believe there's some kind of extinction event that they are privy to. So they feel like getting to the moon is a great way to prepare for whatever that extinction event is. That's something interesting. And a lot of people have mentioned asteroids. In fact, Matt in Orange Park has some info about that. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. What do you want to say about landing on the moon, spending all this money for NASA to send somebody back?
All right, so we can start building a base now, but here's the thing. This asteroid called Apophis, and there's a lot of information out there about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is headed our way. It is confirmed. It's supposed to pass within our satellite rotations when it passes. It's the first time, and I'm not sure of the year. But the year of 2029, I believe it's October, they have it scheduled to come by us again, and the probability of it hitting us is 25% at that time. And I think that's what they're getting ready for, is if this thing does get close and they figure out it's going to hit us, there's your extinction-level event. And, you know, if they want to try and save humanity, good luck, because if this planet gets taken out, there's not going to be much left to go back to if they're sitting on the moon staring at it.
All right, so you're saying that in October of 2029, there's an asteroid that's supposed to come. There's a 25% chance that Earth gets wiped out by an asteroid. That sucks that it's October, because my birthday's in October. So that's a bummer. Melanie in Jacksonville, how are you, Melanie?
Well, how are you, sir?
Hey, we're doing great. Thanks so much for asking. What do you want to say, Melanie?
Oh, I just wanted to point out that usually your most difficult hurdle in launching anything into space is gravity.
Yeah.
And the one thing we have a lot less of on the moon is gravity.
Yeah, gravity sucks.
Yeah. It sucks more and more the older you get.
Right. That is true. It does keep the plastic surgeons in business. That's for sure, though. 855-765-1045. You know why I want to go to the moon? Because on the moon, I'd only weigh 47 pounds. That's what they told me when I went to the planetarium, stepped on that moon scale. I was like, hell yeah, I want 46 pounds. 855-76, I mean, you won't be able to breathe, and I don't think there's a lot of water, and there's nothing to do, but at least you'll feel better about your weight. 855-765-1045. This is Brian in Jacksonville. Brian, real quick, what do you want to say, sir?
Hey, Mark, I was just going to shed some light on the dark side of the moon.
I see what you did there. That's good.
The Earth side and the dark side on average receive about the same amount of sunlight. So there is no permanent dark side of the moon.
Does the moon rotate, or is it just sitting there still?
My understanding, it's on about a 28-day sunlight cycle.
So there is no dark side of the moon. Every part of the moon does see light at some time.
About equal amounts on average, yes.
That is interesting. See, that's interesting, Moon. I thought about that too when they said the dark side of the moon. I'm like, are we always looking at the same side of the moon? Doesn't it spin like the Earth does? 855-765-1045. We gotta take a quick break. We have a couple more phone calls about this, and we got some other stuff we gotta get to too. This is the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV. Stay tuned.
I've got to get Mark Kay more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark Kay.
Where entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
This is the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
Why don't we send creepy Joe Biden up there to look for intelligent life? I'm sure he would love to get a whiff of the aliens up from the moon.
Yeah, Joe Biden's going to go up there and sniff out intelligent life in space. That smells good. 855-765-1045. Look, I promise we're not going to talk about the moon for the rest of the day, but it does give us a chance to play some great music and learn a little bit about our solar system. 855-765-1045. This is Joel from Jacksonville. Joel, how are you? Thanks for calling the Mark Kay Show.
Yeah, Mark, good morning. How are you?
Oh, doing great, man. Doing great. What do you want to say about the moon?
The moon is tidally locked against the Earth, Mark, which means that one face only is pointing towards us at any given time, right? The same face all the time that we see. But, so when it's a full moon, the light from the sun is hitting the moon and reflecting back, and we see the full moon. But when it's a new moon, the backside of the moon is pointed towards the sun. So the gentleman earlier is absolutely correct. Every part of the moon get sun, but it doesn't rotate on its axis like we do. It revolves around the Earth on about a 28-day cycle.
Okay, so there is no real dark side of the moon. It's just that when the moon's on the other side of the Earth, we don't see that side.
Well, when the Earth is between the sun and the moon, right, the moon is farther away from the sun than we are.
Got it.
That's when we see the full moon. When the moon is closer to the sun than we are, that's in its new moon phase, and so we won't see it because we don't see any light reflecting off of it from the sun.
All right, so if we flew to, like, China, then we would see a totally different side of the moon, right?
you would not. You would see, because the same side of the moon is always facing towards the Earth. We see the man in the moon. Oh. They don't see the Chinese see something different. They it's not a man to them. It's a rabbit, kind of upside down. The long ears are kind of pointed down.
But it's the same side of the moon.
It's the same side of the moon that we see, regardless of where you are on the Earth.
Wow. This is so confusing. All right. Hey, thanks so much. Thanks so much for explaining. This is why I'm in the position that I'm in, because I didn't study science. I took astronomy twice in college, not because I wanted to, but because I didn't get credit for it the first time around. And I still don't understand any of this stuff. But I do understand that, you know, the economics of it all. And I feel like there needs to be more economic impact for anything that we invest the billions and billions of dollars in that we're trying to invest. I understand the economic impact of building a wall along the Mexican border. The economic impact on spending $20 billion to build a wall means that you're going to have less competition for jobs. You're going to have less money that has to be spent on law enforcement. You're going to have less money that has to be spent on education and health care for illegal immigrants. You're going to have less money that you need to spend on these judges and these law enforcement personnel who are just trying to catch and process and then deport illegal immigrants. You're going to have less money on drug rehab programs, and because you're going to have fewer drugs. I mean, there's a huge economic benefit that we can see instantly in building the wall. Also, let's not forget all the money we're losing that is pouring back across the Mexican border when these people come in here and they work and they funnel the money back into Mexico, sending it to their compatriots and their families and their kids and their wives and whatever else. Let's not forget all the money that we lose, on illegal immigration that we could be charging people to come into the country legally. You know, legal immigration isn't free. You've still got to pay you've got to pay the piper. You know, if you want to become a citizen of this country, you got to write some checks. And that's another source of income that we're losing out on. So there's a direct benefit, an economic benefit to the United States when you spend billions of dollars on a wall. I also see a benefit to the United States when you spend money on offshore drilling, or when you spend money on oil refineries, or when you spend money on pipelines, or when you spend money on exploring the Alaskan, the Alaskan oil fields, anything like that, anything that can boost us as an economic superpower and make us energy independent is an economic boon. Not only does it make us less dependent on importing these products from places like Iran, but it also makes us profitable because we can then resell it to other countries that may not be energy independent. So I see the economic benefits there. I see the economic benefits of a strong military. If you have a strong military, then you can basically maintain order in the world. And if somebody starts to act up and it threatens, let's say, again, that same energy independence as we've seen in the past, if you have somebody threatening you in some other way, shutting down a border or invading a country that you rely on, or, you know, attacking one of your allies who helps you out and can continue to help you out, like Israel. There's an economic impact to maintaining those relationships. And being the strong arm to a weaker country is something that we need to continue to do. And what Donald Trump is doing brilliantly is he's made the United States basically a soldier of fortune. He said, hey, look, we will continue to protect you. We're going to protect you guys. We're going to protect you, Israel. We're going to protect you, India. We're going to protect you, Germany. We're going to do our best to keep protecting you and being the world's policeman. But you don't have guns and ships and planes and men and women and military might and nuclear weapons. You don't have all that. We do. But you know what you do have? You have some extra cash laying around. So why don't you just, you know, send some over? And so there's an economic benefit to all of that. What I don't see right off the bat, and again, it maybe down the road I will. Maybe Donald Trump will be able to explain it. Maybe someone calling the show will be able to explain it. Maybe it'll become evident. I don't see the economic impact or benefit of sending somebody to the moon. I didn't see it in 1969, and after 3 years, the program was shut down. Shut down after 3 years. What was it? 6 times we went to the moon. There didn't seem to be anything there that was valuable. And I know everyone's saying it's the military high ground, and maybe now it is. But I feel like our money and our time and our effort is better spent on space travel, space exploration, the Space Force, What if we built a space station? I mean, look, I'm not going to say we need the Death Star up there, but wouldn't it be better off if we had some kind of mobile presence in space? Because, again, the moon, as we've all just talked about, rotates around the Earth and around the sun, and you can't actually see every vantage point. When you're on the moon, there's going to be several hours during the day when you won't be able to shoot anything at the United States of America or at Russia or at China because the moon's on the other side of the planet. Whereas if you had something mobile, if you had a couple of bases up there, what if you had a string of five bases that connected and, you know, with, and just were spinning around the Earth so that we always had a vantage point? There's a reason why. There's a reason why the Emperor and Darth Vader didn't just go and take over a moon. There's a reason why the Emperor and Darth Vader decided we're going to build our own moon. There was some kind of military benefit to them building their own planet as opposed to just taking over one that already existed. 855-765-1045. Again, that's just from an economic standpoint, which is all I tend to understand, is money. I'm a capitalist, not a scientist. That's just where I see the issue to be. 855-765-1045. We got to take a quick break. More of the Markay Show coming up on News 104.5 WOKV. This is the Markay Show, 855-765-1045. Oh, and I'm sorry, there was a, hey, when they do that, 855-765-1045 is the number, and a couple other things. First of all, I keep forgetting there's an election going on until they hear the news, but the runoff election is today, so if you haven't voted, I totally forgot about it. I mean, here's the thing. We had the whole election. We got the mayor, we got the sheriff, and then all the city council people, which it's true. The city council people, I mean, they're very important because when it comes to the day-to-day stuff, like the half-cent tax that we're all, you know, we spent like 2 days debating last week, they're the ones that are going to decide whether or not that ends up on the mayor's desk and eventually on the ballot. So it is important to go out and vote for these people if you have some time today and if you don't forget. Like, I'll swing by on my way home. I promise. 855-765-1045. Also, big story that came out yesterday, and this is something that a lot of people are really excited about. It's about William Barr. The subpoenas for the unredacted Mueller report and the subpoenas for William Barr to come and appear before Congress. All these subpoenas that are going back and forth and everything that they accuse William Barr of doing, like, you know, for example, you know, wiping his butt with the Constitution, basically, or shredding it, or saying that, you know, and trying to basically take away Congress's oversight power as laid out in the Constitution. All of that we all know is baloney. And now what he's doing is he's going forth with what he promised to do. He's going forth with his plan to figure out how and why this whole investigation started. Because in William Barr's mind, much like in the mind of the president, much like in the mind of William Mueller, and much like in the mind of pretty much the majority of Americans, this whole thing is over. It was done. The Mueller investigative team did what they did. They spent their money. They came out with a report, and they said there was no collusion with Russia. They cited no obstruction with the president. And as much as the Democrats want to try to find some, and as much as the Democrats want to try to argue and continue to subpoena people, and try to see the unredacted report, which they legally have no right to see, and which legally William Barr cannot show them. You know, I mean, they continue to ask over and over and over again when they know that these people are not allowed to do what they're asking. So now Attorney General William Barr is doing what he promised to do, and he's moving quickly on it. And that is, he's gone back to the beginning, and he said, now that everything is done, now that the investigation is over and we know there was no crime, we need to go back and figure out how these shenanigans started in the first place. He did not use the word shenanigans, but I'm paraphrasing. He assigned a top federal prosecutor in Connecticut to examine the origins of the Russia investigation. This is coming from MSN.com, surprisingly. According to two people familiar with the matter, a move that President Trump has long called for, but that could anger law enforcement officials who insist that scrutiny of the Trump campaign was lawful. John H. Durham, the United States attorney in Connecticut. This is the guy now who is going to be the next Mueller. This is the Republicans' Mueller, basically, or this is the Attorney General's Mueller. John H. Durham, the United States attorney in Connecticut, has a history of serving as a special prosecutor investigating potential wrongdoing among national security officials, including the FBI's ties to a crime boss in Boston and accusations of CIA abuses and detainees. What this means is this guy is internal affairs for the FBI. And they don't like it, and they don't want it, and they're angered by it, and most importantly, they're scared. Because now you have a guy who has a history of breaking apart criminal wrongdoing in our law enforcement agencies. You have a guy who's investigated wrongdoing in the United States government. The highest levels, the CIA, the FBI, the offices that are there to protect us and serve us. And keep us from criminals both nationally and internationally. His inquiry, they write, is the third known investigation focused on the opening of an FBI counterintelligence investigation during the 2016 presidential campaign into possible ties between Russia's election interference and Trump associates. The department's inspector general, Michael Horowitz, as we know, is separately examining investigators' use of wiretap applications and informants and whether any political bias against Mr. Trump influenced investigative decisions. And John W. Huber, the United States attorney in Utah, has been reviewing aspects of the Russian investigation. His findings have not been announced. Look, this is turn the table time. This is when you see you've got 22 Democrats that are now running for president. You see Joe Biden holding campaign events. You see polls coming out about which candidate is running best in Florida, which candidate is running best in Ohio. You see all of these different, like forebears of the election, which you see Donald Trump having campaign events, massive campaign events, just like he did back in 2016. Another one scheduled for Monday night, which I told you we are going to live stream on our, we're going to live stream that on Twitch and on Facebook. And this means that when you have an election cycle beginning, you need to be in control of the news. And the timing of the Mueller investigation was horrible for the Democrats because he wrapped it up just as they needed him most. He wrapped up his investigation and gave the Democrats nothing to run on. I mean, there was nothing to give them. So the Democrats, probably what they were going to do what they did last time and just publish some false report with some false accusations, make up some stuff, spread some fake news, and try to defeat Donald Trump. That way, of course, they never learn from their mistakes. It didn't happen. It didn't work the first time. It's not going to happen this time. The problem is that Donald Trump is in control of the Justice Department again, that William Barr is not Jeff Sessions. William Barr is not Rod Rosenstein. William Barr is William Barr, and he knows that something bad was done. He knows that there was a Steele dossier, and he knows the Steele dossier was the basis for the FISA warrants. And he knows that these warrants were not just handed out once, but they were reinstituted, and they were, and you know, when the subscription ran out, they basically resubscribed four times. I mean, it is a ridiculous breach of protocol and something that deserves investigating. And the timing for the Democrats is horrible because they don't need any bad news. They don't need any blemishes on their party or their practices. They don't need any blemishes on their heroes and their idols. They don't need Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton being public enemies number one and two. They don't need that because who think about this. Other than Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who was the third person who was at the height of the political triumvirate at that time? What third person was in the White House working with the president, working with Congress, working with the cabinets? Other than the Secretaries of State and the President of the United States, what other person was there? I'll give you a hint. Joe Biden. And if they start investigating 2016, and if they start investigating Hillary Clinton, and if they find dirt that she was involved and that Obama was involved and that Donna Brazile was involved and that CNN was involved and that everyone was involved, guess who it's going to hurt? The only other dude that was there at the time, who also happens to be their front runner for president. Yeah, it's a bad time to be a Democrat. It's never a good time to be a Democrat, but it's especially bad now. 855-765-1045. Quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
I've got to get Mark Kay more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark Kay.
Where entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to
to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
This is the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
All right, so we got more on that breaking news. Governor DeSantis says two counties, yes, they had their elections information accessed, but the hackers weren't able to change or manipulate any data. Two counties in Florida, although apparently he signed some kind of secret agreement with the FBI saying he would not disclose which counties. But I'm just I wouldn't be shocked if they rhymed with Coward and Palm Beach counties. But you never, those counties are the ones that are most messed up. Anyway, apparently what happened was there was a spear phishing email that one of the I guess election officials or election employees clicked on, which allowed the hackers access. So it was a spear phishing email, which is really kind of ironic. And Adam, turn on your mic.
Yeah, one thing to note here is that we'll probably find out which counties these are because the election officials in those counties are aware of it. So once it filters down from the election supervisor to all the underlings, somebody's going to leak that. So we'll probably find out.
Plus, I mean, it's our job to find out. Yes. So we will, and we do our job diligently. So, all right. So when you find out, let me know.
I will do that. Right, Jacksonville's news at noon in less than, 20 minutes.
Oh, perfect. Great. Adam Kirk, everybody. This is interesting information because, again, it proves what we know. It proves two things. Number one, it proves that we know that there are people trying to hack into our elections. Number two, it proves something else, which is that they cannot actually change the election results. That there are, that it is very difficult to hack into a system where you cannot just gain access to the data and the information, but actually change the votes. That is something that I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying it's something that did not happen in the United States in 2016 or ever, and something that most likely will not happen in 2020. And it's curious to see. And I think that probably what you're going to see now, because Donald Trump is a stronger president, is that we are going to see more and more countries like China, countries like Russia, countries that don't like Donald Trump because he is a strong leader, maybe starting to back more of these hacking attempts. By the way, Donald Trump just spoke at the White House. Let's take a listen.
A long time ago. We can't
talk about Chinese tariffs.
I told that to President Xi. But we had a deal that was very close, and then they broke it. They really did. I mean, more than renegotiate, they really broke it. So we can't have that happen. No, I didn't ask him to do that. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. But I think it's a great thing that he did it. I saw it last night. And they want to look at how that whole hoax got started. It was a hoax. And even Mueller, not a friend of mine, even Bob Mueller came out, no collusion. And he had 18 people that didn't like Donald Trump. They were Hillary Clinton fans. They contributed, many of them, to Hillary Clinton. They came out. It was the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the people of this country. And you know what? I am so proud of our Attorney General that he is looking into it. I think it's great. I did not know about it. No.
I love how every question comes back to the Mueller report. He can talk about Chinese tariffs.
No. I wasn't surprised. But you have to understand, they do $600 billion, meaning we buy $600 billion. They buy $100 billion. We have all the advantage. It's a very small factor for us. And we have a much bigger economy now. You know, since my election, we've gone up so much. We have a much bigger economy than China. But if you take a look, $600 million versus $100 million, it's a different world.
This is Donald Trump speaking moments ago right outside the White House. As you can see, he's about to get on the helicopter.
We're looking at that very strongly, about the $325 billion. We're looking at it very strongly, Dave.
Here's the interesting thing. A couple of interesting things about this press conference is, and this is something, again, that we need to look at, why it's going to be very difficult for the Democrats going into 2020, because you have a president who basically has the power to pick up his phone, tweet something out, and make international news. He can pick up his phone, tweet something out, and make anything happen. He can pick up his phone, tweet something out, and change basically, you know, what the course of the election. He can create nicknames for people. He can tell stories about people and let secret information about his counterparts out. He also can just walk out on his front lawn and there's a bevy of cameras ready and willing and waiting to talk to him. And he is ready and willing and waiting to talk to them every single day. You have a president for the first time in probably the history of this country that uses the media as I guess it should be used. I mean, he's the only one that uses the media in the modern form. Not perfection. He's not looking for the perfect Rose Garden press conference. He's not looking for the perfect opportunity with the presidential podium set up. He doesn't care about the American flags. He's literally standing in his front lawn with a helicopter in the background, his hair blowing in the wind, and he is answering questions about anything. Totally unpredicted, totally unscripted. And as we know, that's something that the Democrats have had a huge problem with in the past and will continue to have a problem with in the future. They can't work off the cuff. They can't do what Donald Trump does, and they don't have the power and the ability to manipulate and to communicate with and to summon the press. Donald Trump's biggest asset is not only that, you know, he loves America and has an agenda that puts that forth, but his biggest asset going into the 2020 election is his ability to summon and control the media. And even though their messaging is negative, and even though their messaging is contradictory to the truth, and even though they tend to just make stuff up as they go along, it doesn't matter. Because if it were a choice between Donald Trump talking on the White House lawn about whatever you ask him, or Joe Biden speaking to a group of hand-chosen people about things that he's going to talk about, Donald Trump wins hands down. Donald Trump wins every single time. He is a press magnet. He is a media magnet. He is the news. There's no way to beat somebody like that. There's no candidate of the 22 now that they have. There is no one candidate who is the news or in the small amount of time that they have can make themselves the news. Not Joe Biden, not Bernie Sanders, not Buttigieg, not Beto. I mean, you can't even say Buttigieg's name. There's no way you could report on him 24/7. 855-765-1045. I mean, it's a superpower. The ability Donald Trump has to be on every station at one time, to be on every social media network at one time, to be have his name appear in every newspaper's headline every single day over and over and over again. It's powerful. Jake from Callahan. How are you, Jake?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing great, Jake. Thanks so much for calling. What'd you want to say, sir?
Didn't Hillary win the popular election?
She won the popular vote. Popular vote, yeah. The election is okay. Not a popular election.
Sorry, the popular vote. So not only did the Russians hack the popular vote, but they also hacked the Electoral College.
Apparently, according to this new report, they hacked the election data systems to gain voter data information. They did not hack the results of the election or change the results of the election. That's in the preliminary reports that we're getting here from Ron DeSantis. Like we said, we'll find out more as we go along.
So, but when they talk about collusion and the Russian interference, they were able to affect the Electoral College to the extent that they got Trump elected.
No, they didn't. That's not at all. No one affected the Electoral College. The only person or the only people who were able to hack the Electoral College and get Trump elected were the people that went out and voted for Donald Trump on Election Day in 2016. 855-765-1045. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to have more on this breaking news, more of your phone calls, more of your open mic messages, too. This is the Marque Show on News 104.5 WOKV. Marque Show. My name's Marque. Thanks so much for joining us today, folks. 855-765-1045. Breaking news, man. This is crazy. Traffic alert. No, wait. That's not the breaking news. That's not the breaking news I wanted. The breaking news about the election in 2016. Ron DeSantis now confirming that two Florida counties were infiltrated. But the votes were not changed. in the presidential election. No votes were changed. The outcome of the election was not changed. Nobody had control over that. But because of this, hacking or phishing scandal, there was a database of voters' registration information that were hacked, and that foreign entities, Russian hackers, were able to get into and get control of. This is the issue. It was a spear phishing email. You know, they always say there's those phishing emails. You're not supposed to click on it. Well, don't click on those things. Clark Howard says don't click on them. Don't click on them because it could also alter the course of American history. Used to be you would just lose some money. Now you could actually alter the course of the country's fate. 855-765-1045. Adam Kirk's going to be back here at noon with more on this. But look, it's going to reopen the question about, and I think this is a good thing, because it turns the whole Russia thing back on the Democrats. And this is something maybe they didn't think about when they started this whole hullabaloo. What is it? You don't even know.
I'm not going to tell you. Let's keep doing this. This is fun for me.
This is way more entertaining. I know the answer, but I'm not going to. Anyway, all this BS about the election being hacked and Russian interference. Because now what's going to happen? Donald Trump is going to clamp down on every, I mean, Ron DeSantis has already fired people. He's already investigated several counties in Florida. He's already, gotten, countermeasures in place. Donald Trump and the Republican Party, they're going to be locking down every single precinct. They're going to make sure that none of this can happen again. They're going to spend the money that they need to spend to make sure that every single election system is secure. It's probably going to make it harder for the Democrats to get their dead voters to vote and their illegal voters to vote and their voters that vote two or three times or whatever it is. It's going to be harder for them to get all of that kind of all that shenaniganery back into the election system. And it actually could make for a fairer election, which, of course, we all believe Donald Trump is poised to win, depending on which one of the 22 people becomes their candidate in 2020. 855-765-1045. 855-765-1045. Now, the other thing that's going on is that, and it is a bad time for the Democrats in the United States of America, because number one, they have Donald Trump on the offensive now, not the defensive. He's on the offensive. He has William Barr in his corner. He has an active investigation going now into the root cause and the determining factors that led to the Russian collusion investigation in the Mueller report. This puts the Democrats on defense at a time when they are most, when it's most necessary for them to play offense. They just want to spend the next 2 years attacking the president. They don't want to have to explain their actions or explain what happened in 2016. And they don't want anything at all to cast a negative light on how they run elections, a negative light on what they have done, especially Joe Biden. Because if it turns out, I mean, think of what we found out in 2 years. Think about all the people that Mueller investigated in 2 years and prosecuted in 2 years, and all the grand jury subpoenas that were handed down in 2 years, and the 400-page report that was figured out and written and distributed and redacted in 2 years. We have two more years, a little less, till the next election. Think about what the attorney general, with the full weight of his office, can find out about this Russia investigation in 2 years. He's already building a team. He just appointed a new prosecutor in Connecticut to head up an investigation into the FBI and the CIA and the wrongdoing there. Think about all the information they're going to have that's going to impact the election in 2020. Think about what happens if they find out that candidate Hillary Clinton knew about this, that the president of the United States knew about it and was, number one, allowing it, and number two, then going back and lying about it or covering it up, which potentially could be part of this whole process. And the one guy, as I said before, the one guy who was right there along for the ride all 8 years of the Obama presidency, all through the Hillary Clinton candidacy, the one guy who is the holdover from the past 8 years of the Obama Clinton legacy is the one guy who happens to have a 20-point lead in their election cycle. The one guy who most likely will be their primary pick, and the one guy who they are looking for to defeat Donald Trump. That one guy could be at the center of one of the biggest and worst criminal plots against the United States in history. I'm telling you, you thought 2016 was exciting. I have goosebumps just thinking about it. Listen, tomorrow we're going to have way more information on all this election tampering. Don't forget, there is an election here in Jacksonville. So if you haven't gone out to vote, please make time to do that. We're going to have the results of that election tonight and tomorrow morning. Whatever you want Wednesday, that's what we got on tap tomorrow. Stay tuned right now. Adam Kirk's coming up with more on that breaking news, plus Rush Limbaugh on News 104.5 WOKV.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.